I had a COVID test on Friday, which was required to have a procedure done this coming Tuesday. They wouldn't do the procedure on Tuesday unless I was tested, and that test was on Friday, and I'm not supposed to be around anybody, period. So Rachel told him he's a pastor and he'll be at the church for sure. So they gave me permission to come here this morning and tonight, but be around no one and wear your mask always. There's too much air under there, and there's not enough air to breathe. So anyway, I can't speak with that thing on. All right. Junior church, you got junior church this morning? So that's why I have to have precautionary measures this morning. I'm sorry I can't be around anyone. Got a few announcements here to make in just a moment. Don't forget, we are collecting baby shower gifts for Shay and Mitch. You have today and next Sunday to do that. You can give them to Stacy directly or however you want to do it. It will be a little girl in February, and we're excited for them. So if you want to do something, there's a list of things that they can use on the back shelf there in the foyer. Now, as Anna always does, she's made everybody a dozen rolls. And I gained 25 pounds again yesterday just the smell of them. So everybody can come up after service and take one of these home with you. Enjoy. And she's always glad to do that. On the back ledge in the back, or no, I believe it's on the table in the back. It's on the table? Table on the back there behind Kathy. There are new 2021 calendars, and you can pick one of those up and take them with you. Also, Ann and I made some new decon again this year, guaranteed to work. All you got to do is pick it up and put it in the appropriate place, and you won't have any trouble with any kind of rodents. So if you want to take a picture home, they're laying back there beside the calendars. They wanted to do this procedure on Christmas Eve. Can you believe that? I said, I don't think so. And for some reason, they wanted to get it in before the first of the year. I don't know why. It was supposed to be done in September. And I kept procrastinating. But anyway, it'll be done Tuesday morning in Columbus. Now, LaVon has been diagnosed and with the virus, so keep her in prayer. They tested her with a quick test. It came back positive. Then they tested her again, and it came back positive. So that's where they're all at today. They're all out today because of her being tested positive. They say there's no flu medicine being sold today. None. Tamiflu, or whatever it's called, said still on the shelves. Nobody's buying any. So anyway, I think a lot of the cases that's being added up is regular flu. I don't know. I'm not a specialist in that. We'll leave that to them. Now, Barbara Bryant has passed away. She passed away on Thursday afternoon. She had been going downhill. She had dementia, and she didn't know anybody, nobody, in the last year. And really, she had a bad case of it, so I'll say. But she passed away. She's got her new body. She's with her husband, Jim, and her daughter, and we're thankful that God has spared her, taken her out of this world. But anyway, they are having a funeral, to my surprise. And it'll be at the Miller Funeral Home in Coshocton. viewing will be tomorrow from 12:30 to 1:30. And then the service will be at 1:30. I will be officiating that funeral. Don't tell nobody. Okay? But I will be officiating that funeral at the same time preparing for the colonoscopy on Tuesday. Whippy-doo. So pray for me. I've got a stressful few days here that I get through all of this. So her funeral will be at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon. So keep the family in prayer. Also, Melissa Ward Brown, Mel's daughter, has passed away. She passed away on Friday evening from COVID, is what they diagnosed her. She was on a ventilator. They took her off the ventilator, and she only lasted a couple minutes. So Melissa has passed away. So keep Mel and the family in prayer as well at this time of the year. All right. Well, I think that's about everything that needs to be covered. This is a wonderful time of the year. And let me say, don't allow the chaos that's going on in our world to interrupt your year of celebrating the time when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world. A lot of the chaotic activity in this world today is troubling, but I can assure you things are only going to get worse as we approach the time for his second coming. We as God's people need to be the brightest when the hour is the darkest. So I got a little simple message from Luke chapter 2, the Christmas passage that's most often quoted from. I did a three-part series on this chapter on my Thursday afternoon devotions. If you heard that, if you listened to any of that, a little of this morning perhaps will be a repeat. Now, I had prepared, and it is prepared, a message to bring this morning on what's going on in America. I have postponed that. Some people were not very happy that I postponed that. They want it taught. They want it brought forth. And so right now I am planning on the first Sunday of January to bring that message. What is going on in America? It will not be recorded under any condition. Nobody personally may record it, and we're not going to be recording it. I have been advised by counsel, do not record it, period. And I've been strongly advised. And so we're going to be naming some names. We're going to be recognizing some things that's going on. I'm doing this only for our church. You know, we are on the web where we're people listen all over the world. And we're also on Facebook. This is not for them. This is for our flock. People have asked me personally about different things that's going on. And I've said to them, let me address it in a message. And others have asked me. And I said, let me address it in a message. Well, I put them off too long. Some of them are getting a little frustrated. So anyway, this is only for our church or whoever wants to come. But it absolutely, and don't come up to me and say, you need to record this. It is not going to be recorded. And no one is permitted to record it. So I've been advised by that. Do not record it. I am not afraid for myself. I do not want any harm or damage to come to the church in these troubling days in which we live. Now, in Luke chapter 2, we find the chapter that's most often referred to in the Christmas story. And Orlita, thank you and choir for that beautiful arrangement again. Beautiful Christmas music. And the young people, I'll have to tell them, I don't know how, I should have told them before they were dismissed, but great job to see the young people up here participating, and they did a great job, and we thank the Lord for that. But this chapter is probably read more often and frequent at this time of the year than any other. It is the night that the Lord was born. I got a simple three-point outline, and the first point is the will of God must be fulfilled. The will of God must be fulfilled. Now, many times, and listen very carefully, because this is going to apply to you in the next year. This is going to apply to you in the next year. Many times, for God to fulfill His will, He has to allow activity to take place in our life that's not many times pleasant. He has to allow certain things to take place that many times are discomforting and sometimes right down miserable. But it has to be for His will to be fulfilled. And so it came time. We know in Galatians it says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. So God was right on time. God had everything arranged, everything except one thing. Prophesied throughout the Old Testament that He would come, said where He would be, how He would come, and all of that. The prophets had it. And so the time came, and He was born in Bethlehem, just like Micah said. But we got a problem. Mary and Joseph live in Galilee near Nazareth. The scriptures said He would be born in Bethlehem. So somehow God has got to get Mary from the north to the south, approximately a 60-mile trip. So He has to do that so the will of God can be fulfilled. She's got to be in Bethlehem. He's got to be born in Bethlehem. He can't be born in Galilee. He can't be born in Nazareth. He has to be born in Bethlehem. Now, how is He going to get the will of God for Mary to be where she needs to be so that the will of God can be fulfilled? He uses a political empire to bring upon the people a taxation. That's what He uses. He uses a political empire to create an economical crisis for many people so that he can get Mary and they can be where they needed to be the night He was born. Listen, friends, when chaos erupts, trouble comes, and discomfort, and sometimes right down misery, you just step back and say, the will of God's being done. In this chaotic world in which we're living in tonight, this morning, in this chaotic world that we're living in, and we'll continue till Jesus takes us out of here, God's will is being performed every day. Nothing takes God by surprise. So God allowed the Roman Empire to impose a tax on all the world. That's very clearly given. There went out a decree from Caesar that all the world should be taxed right on time. And this taxing, it tells us exactly when it was. And everyone had to go to where they were, their genealogy was from, to pay their taxes. Rome had it set up, even though Israel had the right, some freedom to rule. Rome had it set up to where they had governors and dictators like Herods and Pilates and so forth, soldiers, to make sure that everything ran accordingly. I said on my devotion on Thursday, politicians love to get in your pocket. That's what they love to do. They sit around tables and discuss how can we get in people's pocket, because we want to spend their money. And they are excellent at doing it. They're sitting now in our capital discussing, you're talking about hypocrites. They take a delay 2 days. They vote 2 days to extend 2 days so they can talk some more. I want to tell you something. America would run far better if they'd all go home. If they just all go home and stay at home, America would run much better. All of them. But that's what they do. That's governments, big governments, that has to have money to be able to pay for their spending, taxation. But remember this, my friend. God allowed this and maybe even put it in Caesar's heart to do it. I don't know. And I'm not a speculative preacher and a scenario preacher, but God's will had to be fulfilled. Mary had to be in Bethlehem. So here they come, right on time, in the fullness of time, because she has, and does Joseph, they have to be in Bethlehem because that's where their lineage came from. That's very clear in verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. And the reason why he went, the reason why, now listen, watch this. Their motive for going to be taxed in verse 5. They made that 60-mile trip. Here's a girl, young Jewish virgin that's with child. She's already being smeared and mocked back home when she says, hey, I've not done nothing wrong. I've not done anything wrong. This child I'm carrying was given to me by God. I've not done anything wrong. Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, sure you have. Sure that baby's from God. Sure. To the point to where when Jesus began his ministry, they even called him one born out of fornication. They didn't believe it. And so she had the mockery. She had it, but she well carried because she knew she was fulfilling the will of God. And the motive that they got on that donkey and made that 60-mile trip was to be taxed. To be taxed. That's very clear in verse 5. Verse 4 tells us why they went to Bethlehem. Nothing about they had to be there. See, that's all being programmed in the mind of God. That's all being handled by God. We have to allow all of this commotion and all of this craziness, we have to allow it and set it aside and give it to God and live our lives. And let God take care of all the craziness, corruption that's going on in our world today. They went up to be taxed because Rome said you got to be there. Now that's a hardship. Another thing about government, they don't care. Matter of fact, communism, socialism, the harder they can make it on people, the better they love it. You say, how do you know? I lived in it 15 years. I lived in it. And the harder they can make it for people, the better they like it. Sad, but true. So they went to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. She's in her ninth month. Now, can you imagine a woman getting on the back of a donkey and riding 60 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the purpose to be taxed? To be taxed. Just remember this as we face another year of uncertainties. God's will is running accordingly and will be fulfilled. And that may cause hardships on us, and that may cause difficulties and irregularities and abnormities. May allow it, may permit it. God's will never will fail. It will be fulfilled. So there she comes, 60 miles, on the back of a donkey. Girls complain today, and boys, young people today, they complain today of, about anything. So anyway, that's the will of God. The will of God. The will of God, Bethlehem was the place chosen. Micah told it. A virgin would conceive. Isaiah told it. And all that needed to be told at that time. And then the fullness of time came. And God allowed a Roman emperor and a world power to cause this chaos to come upon people. And they had to travel a long ways to be taxed, not to be delivered, but to be taxed. But while they were there, not only did they have to go to be taxed, but Rome was, socialistic communism is never in a hurry to help you, no matter what your condition may be. I've seen the lines. Have you seen lines recently in America? I've seen the lines. Oh, they love it. You know what that is? That's people standing in line depending on us. And that's what they love. They love that. They love to see that. They're not concerned about the hardships that it causes and brings upon people. So that's the will of God being fulfilled. And Joseph and Mary, thank God they were obedient to the will of God. You and I must do the same thing in this upcoming year, no matter what may be the circumstances around us. The second thing I want you to notice, if you would, in verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him. We always wrap gifts. We always wrap gifts, normally. Sometimes they're in a bag, but they're stuffed with paper on top or something. But normally they're wrapped with gifts. They're wrapped for the purpose that you have to unwrap them to see what's in them. You have to, and I've been in homes. I've seen it. I've seen kids tear in when they opened their presents and paper was a-flying and boxes were a-flying and you had to stand the distance or you get hit in the head with something. And whatever they pulled out of that box, it would go flying off the side. They'd grab a hold of another and rip that over and until they got them all opened. And then they said, I didn't get. Well, I sat there whining and whimpering because they did, and they got a whole floor full of toys, but they didn't get what they wanted. That's America. America. Gifts are wrapped. Jesus was God's gift to this world. And she wrapped him. She wrapped him in what was called swaddling clothes. Now, that's an Eastern culture practice. I remember being in Romania years ago, and we had a lot of our young men marry some of the young girls they met at our college, and they married. That happens quite often. And they met and married, then they had children. And I remember this one particular family. They both worked for me in our ministry. They had two boys. And when they were born in the hospital there, they wrapped him up. I mean, they wrapped him up. All you could see was their two eyeballs. That was it. And I said, you're going to smother that poor child. No, no, no. We can't let it get a draft. We can't let this baby get a draft. They actually believe over there in Romania, if you've got wind over here and you've got a window over there, you can't open both windows at the same time because a current will come through and it'll go through your ear and you lose your hearing. So you only open one window, you don't open the other. Serious? You can't let a current get through. I'm not mocking them. That's just their culture they grew up in. But they wrapped them babies up. All you could see was their little eyes sticking out. And did that for months. Did it for months. That's the culture they grew up in. These swaddling clothes, they start like a wrap around the feet, and they work their way up along the knees and the legs and up through the middle and up around the chest and up around, and then it's placed a certain way around the head, and all you see is the two eyes. Swaddling clothes. The greatest gift ever given to mankind was wrapped. Wrapping is for a purpose. Wrapping is for a purpose. It brings warmth. Warmth. The will of God was fulfilled so that God could bring warmth to the human heart of man who is cold, dark in sin, and separated from God in total depravity. God loved the world he gave. Wrapped in that gift was the warmth and the heart of God to this world. Just like you would wrap a baby, like you would wrap a present, God wrapped his son. Wrapped his son. There was voices that day heard. They were spoke to the shepherds. Unto you this day is born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. An angel, probably Gabriel, brought that to the shepherds. When his person, concerning his person. Last Sunday morning we studied Christmas from the Gospel of Luke, Gospel of Mark, in the beginning. But it didn't begin with the birth. It began with his program, and it began in Jordan. But there was a voice. And there was a voice when he began his program, as there was a voice when the person began life. Today is born unto you in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But no angel made the announcement in the Gospel of Mark. Heaven rolled back and the Father looked down and he declared before all, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The voice of God himself, when it came to his birth, angels came. When it came to his program, the Father spoke. And that was not the only time he spoke. He spoke throughout the program of 3+ years upon this earth. Warmth of God. Have you Have you experienced it? Have you experienced it? The warmth of God. The will of God may bring inconvenience. The will of God may bring discomfort. The will of God may bring trouble into your life. But let it happen, because the result will be warmth in your heart as the will of God is being fulfilled in your life. When God wraps His arms around your heart. I told somebody this past week that's struggling. I've had an extremely busy week. And I was on with this person quite a while who's struggling in life. And I said, I pray for you that the Lord will wrap His arms around your heart and you might feel His heartbeat. That's what you need. And I said, don't set and let your mind idle. An idle mind is the devil's playground. Let God wrap His arms around your heart. I got a smiley face back. The warmth of God. Have you experienced it? Have you experienced it? The warmth. The greatest gift ever given. And yet, there are so mass billions of people that have no clue why He came, what He can do for anyone. And that takes us to our third point. People that do not experience His warmth will experience His wrath. The will of God will bring the warmth of God. And the warmth of God is a choice. It's a choice. God's not like Caesar. Caesar said mandatory. God says, I provide. You make your decision. But those that don't experience the warmth of God will experience the wrath of God. In the last part of verse 7, as she brought forth and laid Him in a manger. Why? No room. No room. And people that find no room for Him, I think of that innkeeper. I think of him turning that family away. Here she is about ready to give delivery. She just made a 60-mile trip on the back of a donkey to pay the taxes for Caesar. And I think about that innkeeper knowing she's about to be delivered and knowing that they are in a hardship and they're from out of town. No compassion, no heart. Go to the stables. Maybe you can find a place there to lay him. Why? No room. And the no room for Christ will not bring the warmth of God. It'll bring the wrath of God. I had somebody tell me not long ago that I was in their home visiting. I don't believe a good God would send anybody to a hell. And I said, God will not send anybody to hell. They send themselves to hell when they reject God's gift. They bring upon themselves the wrath of God simply because they don't want the warmth of God. The will of God on Christmas Day, that first time, when He was born, the will of God had to be fulfilled. And God had to work here, there. He's doing that today. He's doing that today. God is doing things here. He's doing things all over the world, every country. He's doing things to make sure that things happen accordingly, And everything comes together. It's like a massive million-piece puzzle with pieces about that big around. God knows where every piece fits, and He's putting it together so that the will of God will be fulfilled in these latter days. You and I may not see the picture today. You and I may not understand the picture today. But my friend, God is fulfilling His will. And His will, most of all, is He's not willing that any should perish, but that all comes to repentance. God wants man to find the warmth of Christ, so he don't have to face the wrath of God. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. And God spoke at His birth, when His person began, and God spoke at the baptism when His program began. Over here, an angel made the announcement. I close with this. The three wise men followed the star. The three wise men follow the star. But they weren't very obedient to the star. They kept leaning northward about 6 or 7 miles. They kept leaning northward. Instead of ending up in Bethlehem, they ended up in Jerusalem. Where is He that's born King of the Jews? They had in their mind, He's a king. He's got to be born in Jerusalem. That's where the kings rule. No, you just get back on track and follow the star, and it'll lead you right where He's at. And back on track they came and found the babe and the star led them. God's not using a star today, my friend. Don't go out and like the astrologers and all these soothsayers and trying to look for signs in the sky and find the fine things that's going on right here. God's not using a star today to lead us to Himself. Here's what God's using today. Verse 12. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe. You want to find Him? Here's how you find Him. You find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You want to find the babe? You want to find where He's at? Simply follow my instructions. And believe what I tell you. That's what God's doing today and has been doing for the past 2,000 years. Simply follow my instructions, and my instructions will lead you right to me. The wise men needed light. They needed a star. It led them to Him. But God's not using stars and signs today. He's simply using instructions. You want to find the babe? You want to find the Christ? You want to find Him? Here's how you'll find Him. Go where I tell you. Do what I tell you to do. And there's where He'll be. Instructions. Simple. Simple. People got their own ideas, their own opinions, their own philosophies, their own religions. Ye shall find the babe. Ye shall find the babe. Have you found Him? On this Christmas, on this Sunday, last Sunday before Christmas, there's no greater time to open your heart to Him and feel that warmth. There's the warmth of forgiveness. And then you enjoy the warmth of His faithfulness to you every day. Some days, and I don't say this to be arrogant and cocky, I don't say this for any wrong reason, not every day. There's many days in my life, it's as if He's sitting right beside me in my chair. He's that close. You can sense His presence. You can sense that He's there, His presence. I wouldn't trade that for anything or everything in the world. He's real. This is not fiction. Culture's made it fictional. This is factual. Factual. My friends on Facebook this morning, if you're coming into this holiday season and Christmas season, and yes, it's Merry Christmas, but you may not have a Merry Christmas. Abnormal times, unusual times, even difficult times. We have been ordered here in the state of Ohio, advisory to stay home, which is just the next step to another lockdown, stay home order. It may not be like other Christmases, and you may not be able to enjoy, but do you have Christ in your heart? You can enjoy Him every day of your life. Every day is Christmas, if you know Him, because you got that warmth. That warmth that He warms your heart with. If you don't know Him, today is the day of salvation. Simply bow your heart to Him. Ask Him to come in, save you, forgive you, and take you to heaven. He's already provided it. He's already provided it. We celebrate at this time of the year His person. At Easter, we celebrate the heartbeat of His program. But do you know Him? If not, make it real today. Real today. We invite you back this evening at approximately 6:15. I'm going to bring a message tonight. The amazing Christ who became astonishingly amazed. The amazing Christ who became astonishingly amazed. Join with us again this evening. If you can, about 6:15, we'd love to have you with us. Until then, stay safe, stay blessed, and we trust you have a blessed day on Christmas the 25th. Thank you for connecting with us this morning. All right. Ann and I extend our Christmas